Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Mike Causey. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good.
All right. Let's see. Sports. Let's just get our NFL picks out of the way.
Oh, there's a game. That's right.
It's a stinker.
Hold on. Let me get to the litter box.
I know. It's a stinker.
Yeah, so's the litter box.
The Raiders and the 49ers.
You go first.
I'm going to take the 49ers.
I'm taking Oakland.
All right. There you go.
Chuck E. Cheese got to beat the 49ers.
You just don't know.
Well, one of us is going to win.
That's exactly right. The No Freaking Logic League. That's
what a dog of a game.
Yeah, well, anyways. So that's that. So now, did you see the story out of the University of Maryland?
No, I didn't pay attention to it.
All right, they had a kid die earlier in the season when they were preseason.
I heard, but I didn't go into the logistics of it.
They put the coach on the sideline while they investigated it. They reinstated the coach the day before yesterday. Okay, mm-hmm. Because two of the investigations found out that there was a lot of things that went wrong. They fired one guy, one of the trainers, who was not a qualified trainer, by the way, and they instituted some places. But then the day after he was reinstated, he was fired by the chancellor of the university, whatever, their president of the university, because the parents were going to sue. They made a lot of mistakes. They made just a ton of mistakes in this. And the head coach didn't make them personally, but I guess the bottom line comes down, you're the one that should know what's going on with your squad, I guess.
What'd the kid die from?
Heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion. They missed all the signs of it, missed every bit of it. And he could have been saved very simply by things that almost all big schools do that have football programs and that do practice in hot weather. And then they didn't have any of those procedures in place. So this wasn't like a heart attack or anything like that. It was, as non-athletes call it, heat stroke. But when it happens to an athlete and it's overlooked for over hours, it turns into a serious problem. So anyway.
Well, I coach high school baseball.
Yeah.
And you have to take courses on all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's too much going on for a head coach to look at every single thing that's going on at a practice. Whoever was in charge, one of the trainers that's in charge of that, that's the person that should be the fall guy, in my opinion, not the coach.
Well, he was. He got fired because he didn't have a training degree, first of all. That was another
problem.
He
doesn't need it. The trainer that's in charge of the players is the person that needs it.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That guy did not have the qualifications.
Well, that's the guy that should be fired and whatever done to, not the head coach.
He was. Now, sad news out of Willie McCovey. Gosh, yeah. It's hard for me because, I grew up watching these ballplayers. 80 years old Willie McCovey was.
Oh, all you got to do is look at your digits. And I got to do is look at my digits.
I know, but,
I remember Willie McCovey and his big feet playing first base with his big, long swing. And it was death by McCovey or death by Mays. Willie McCovey was a tremendous ball player, very good first baseman, big power hitter for the Giants. And if he played today, they would say he's one of the best players in baseball. But back then, he was just another good player. Yeah. And Willie McCovey was a very good player, did a lot for San Francisco after his playing career. And baseball today would need a lot more players like Willie McCovey to make it the way that it was. And it's a shame, but what are you going to do? 80 years old, not a bad life. And Willie McCovey, good man, good player. That's what I remember him as.
Here's what I remember of the San Francisco Giants. Willie Mays, of course, Juan Marichal.
Mm-hmm.
But Willie McCovey, because no matter how big his bat was, it looked like a toothpick in his
big
hand.
Big guy. He was like 6'5", 6'6".
Well, it's like Mouskouron with the Yankees, but he towered over Mouskouron. He made Mouskouron look like
Willie McCovey might have been one of the tallest players in the league at the time.
And you never used to like, oh boy, I used to hate to see Marichal. I used to hate to see them come into town Boy.
I used to love seeing them guys. Those guys were good.
Oh, that's what I mean.
And back then, you didn't see them. The only time you saw these teams was when they played the Mets.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Because they played on the West Coast, and there was no ESPN, no Major League Network. The only time you ever seen these guys was when they played the Mets. So that means you may have seen them 6, 7, 8 times a year. That was it.
I think I saw Juan Marichal once or twice pitch. I know I saw Willie McCovey and Willie Mays several times, but anyways.
Yeah, one of the few games I went to as a kid was a Met Giant game on a Friday night. I'll never forget it, just to go see Willie Mays and Willie McCovey.
Well,
needless to say, I remember they drubbed the Mets.
Yeah, that's right. All right, where else do we want to go in sports here?
College football. College football is the way to go this weekend. Unbelievable that they scheduled this game at 3:30 in the afternoon in the heart of Breeders' Cup Saturday in Kentucky. Georgia plays Kentucky. That's going to determine one of the players, like we said yesterday, one of the teams to go play Alabama if Alabama beats LSU on Saturday. So the two marquee college football matchups this weekend are in the SEC. And the University of Kentucky Georgia game's on at 3:30 Saturday, and at 8 o'clock at night is Alabama LSU. So you can roll from one, have something to eat, right into the other one, and keeps flipping from there to the Breeders' Cup, and you can have a pretty good sports afternoon on Saturday into your evening.
Now, are you getting all set for your Breeders' Cup? You know, you're getting all set for this?
I warmed up yesterday. It's raining at Churchill, and I had a nice day yesterday at Churchill. So I hope it rains right through Saturday. I hope it never stops raining at Churchill Downs this weekend.
Well, it is going to stop.
No, it's not. It's going to rain right till Friday.
Right till Friday, yeah, but not through Saturday.
Well, it's not going to be fast, and it's not going to be firm. That's for sure.
Slow and sloppy?
It'll probably be muddy and yielding, I'm thinking.
All right.
Muddy and yielding. May go to good by late in the day on Saturday, but tomorrow is definitely going to be sloppy. Going to be sloppy and a very soft turf track.
So a lot of jockeys are going to be having a lot of dirt on their goggles.
Beautiful. Racing the way it should be, in the mud.
Football the way it should be, in the mud.
This way all these fair-weather fans won't know where to bet. They'll bet stupid, leave some nice opportunities, and hopefully I'll be cashing more tickets tomorrow.
All right. Well, we start predicting them tomorrow?
No, we do it right now.
Well, let's get to it.
I'm waiting.
The floor is yours.
All right, going to go to the seventh race tomorrow. Post time for this is at 4:40. It's the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies going a mile in the 16th. We got 10 horses lining up for this race. A couple horses I'm looking at. One is going to be the four horse, Relentless Rider. Won the Alcibiades at Keeneland a couple weeks ago, getting Lasix for the first time. This horse sat just off the pace and drew away to win by two at a little more than even money. The eight horse, Sipakin Hanover, this horse won the spinaway, hasn't run since September for Gary Contessa. This horse is bred for the wet, being by Orb out of a deputy minister mare. I don't like the layoff. I'll take the 12-1 and use this horse in the exacta, but any horse coming from Labor Day weekend to run in the Breeders' Cup 2 months later, oh, man, that's just tough, especially for a two-year-old. But I will throw that horse into my exacta box. But the horse I like best in this race is Sergenti Express, the two-horse. This horse is bred good for the wet, hasn't run since mid-September. But this horse's last two races, both being stakes, won by 13 and 19 lengths, respectively, in 11-horse fields. That's just tremendous. This horse has three real nice works in the month of October at Churchill Downs. All systems go. I don't know how you could overlook a horse that won the last two races by 30 lengths. But Sergenti Express, the two horse, is going to be my top pick in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and the four, Relentless Rider, and eight, Sipakin Hanover, I'm going to throw into my exactas. Moving on to the eighth race is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Friday, if you haven't caught on yet, is a big two-year-old day. I like the way that they separate it. A couple horses I'm looking at in here. One is the 11 horse, King of Speed, coming from California. Never been on an off turf, so you don't know how this one's going to react, but ran very nicely in two stakes races out west at Del Mar and Santa Anita, being with the AP Indy in the mare lineage. May or may not take to the wet. I'm going to throw this horse in my number. Another horse I'm going to use is the 6 horse, Henley's Joy. If you look at this racehorse, won at Keeneland and Kentucky Downs last two times out, actually second by a head in Keeneland. You look at the track variant in the racing form, and it was a heavy track. Even though the track was listed at firm, it was a very slow racetrack at both Kentucky Downs and Keeneland. That's going to measure up big time into the soft turf expected tomorrow. So Henley's Joy at 8-1 with Mike Maker is going to be a play in this race for me as well. Horse I like the best and probably going to go off somewhere around 7-2 is the 4 horse, 40 under, trained by Jeremiah Engelhard. This horse broke his maiden first time on the turf up at Saratoga, came back at the end of September at Belmont in the Pilgrim on a yielding track and won decisively that day. So I'm going to be torn between the 4 and the 6 with my win bet, 40 under and Henley's Joy. I'm going to take the bigger price, but I'm going to box the 4, the 6, and the 11 King of Speed in my exactas on Friday afternoon. Moving on to the 9th race, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. These are horses that are prospective Derby horses next year. Don't you believe it, though. Draws 14 horses for this race. Again, expecting a wet track. The 14 Signal Man, who ran second in the Breeders' Cup Futurity at Keeneland in the fall meet. This horse is bred real nice for the wet, being by a trip out of a trippy mare by General Quarters. General Quarters, a very unheralded sire for stake horses, likes the wet, likes the turf. So 14 Signal Man is going to be in my number here. And a couple other horses I'm going to look at. The Favorite Game Winner, trained by Bobby Baffert. 3-for-3 lifetime. What can you say about a horse like that? That's a must-use horse. But my top pick here is going to be the 8 horse, Standard Deviation. This horse is by Curlin out of an AP Indy mare. One first time out at Saratoga, going 7 furlongs on a good track. They put the blinkers on this time. Has never run with blinkers before, probably because last time this horse was very slow out of the gate in the Breeders' Futurity, which Signal Man ran second in, and this horse was 4-1 in that race. Made up a whole lot of lengths in that race. The wet track's definitely going to help this horse. I hope this horse is somewhere near the 12-1 morning line. If so, I'm going to be all over it. Don't worry about the low buyers when you compare it against Game Winner, because buyers don't mean a thing. You have to look at the horse and the race and the pace and the variance and everything else, and Standard Deviation measures up very well in here. And when you consider that the winner of the race I'm talking about, the Breeders' Futurity, was Nix Go at 70-1. I'm not worrying about that horse. I'm looking at horses underneath that race that had trouble, and one of them is Standard Deviation. So that horse will be the top pick for me in the Juvenile on about 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And a couple of horses I'm going to use underneath it are going to be the Favorite Game Winner, the 9, the 11 Code of Honor, and the 14 Signal Man. So some nice races tomorrow, and that's just a prelude for the big day on Saturday.